and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Saver, coming to you live this afternoon from Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I still don't hear myself. Good afternoon and welcome everybody to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We apologize for that little mishap here. We're having a few little technical difficulties here in the studio, but we seem to have everything figured out now. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this afternoon. Big day in the NFL with free agency and trades happening in the NFL. We're going to get to some of those. We're big time in college basketball. We have March Madness coming up. You know, we're in the month of March, and things are getting real mad, you know. Things are getting crazy. We had some shakeups in the top 10, some teams moving around, a couple of the top teams in the country getting some scares last night. And we have the conference tournaments to look forward to, and just, you know, going to look at what teams have things to prove and what, you know, and who's on the bubble and what conferences have things to prove for the tournament. Obviously, most of the conference tournaments will be taking place next week. A few of them will actually be starting this coming weekend, but most of the big conferences, i.e., the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, all those conferences tournaments will be next weekend. And then we'll go ahead and talk about the NBA, you know, preview some of the matchups coming up tonight, and, you know, talk a little about where Ray Allen's headed, what his future is, and Russell Westbrook and his return, amongst other things. And then we will finish our show this afternoon with some talk of spring training in Major League Baseball. Who's getting off to a good start? You know, who of the big free agent moves that were made in the offseason, who is off to a good start? Well, a couple players in particular are making some big moves and looking pretty good. And you're going to look at the local teams, the A's and the Giants. They've been going at it the last 2 days in spring training, and one team in particular has looked extremely well, and the other one, not so much. We'll get to all of that that I just mentioned and a lot more things in detail for the rest of the show. Okay, here we go. NFL free agency and trade talk will be our lead subject for this afternoon. Obviously, Monday was the last day for teams. The deadline was 4 o'clock Eastern time on Monday for teams to lock up players via the franchise tag, players that were eligible for that. And there were players that were put on the tag. The Denver Broncos tagged Demaryius Thomas. Dallas Cowboys tagged Dez Bryant. The Patriots tagged Steven Kostkowski, their kicker, to clarify Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant, both wide receivers. Chiefs tagged outside pass rusher Justin Houston. And the Dolphins tagged, put a transition tag on tight end Charles Clay. And what a transition tag basically means is that he is in a way a restricted free agent, so somebody can go offer him a contract. But the Dolphins pretty much hold all the cards. They can choose to match that offer. So if all the Dolphins would have to do would be, say, for instance, a team that needs a tight end. So say the Jacksonville Jaguars offer him a contract, and it's worth $20 million. I mean, I'm totally throwing numbers out, but if he gets that contract, then the Dolphins match that offer, he automatically goes back to Miami. And the players that weren't tagged that some people thought maybe would, Ndamukong Suh is one big name that people thought would be tagged but was not tagged. And part of it is his number. The tag number was just so outrageous. I mean, $27 million for one season for Ndamukong Suh. I mean, that's such a huge number, and it has to do with his rookie contract. He's one of the only players left that had those huge rookie contracts before the collective bargaining agreement. The new collective bargaining agreement was signed back in 2012. Another name on the list that wasn't tagged, not really a huge surprise, is Randall Cobb, the slot receiver from the Green Bay Packers, and Julius Thomas, obviously not tagged because they tagged Demaryius Thomas. There was some question on which player they would tag of the two Thomases, and I think Denver made the right decision to tag the player that they did. When you look at these big players, there, Suh and Cobb, and there's a lot of interesting names out there in the free agent market. There is a pretty deep class, and looks like it's not only going to be free agency. We saw one big trade yesterday. We'll get to that in just a minute. But, we have players like Andre Johnson out there who really wants out of Houston, was kind of rumored to want out last year. He did the holdout last year and doesn't really want to be part of a rebuilding project in Houston. He wants to go play for a contender, so he might be on the move. You see some inside linebackers that are out there. Rolando McClain comes to mind. A.J. Hawk from the Green Bay Packers. Rolando McClain played for the Dallas Cowboys, a little bit of a surprise. And, there are teams that need linebackers, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons is a team that comes right to mind as a team that might need a linebacker. But looking at, going back to these big players, like players like Ndamukong Suh or Randall Cobb, I think there is a lot of teams that have a lot of cap space. The Falcons being one, the Cleveland Browns, the Oakland Raiders have a lot of cap room. And geez, the Jaguars, they have a ton of cap room. They have over $60 million of cap space for this upcoming season. So it's like, geez, where are we going to spend some money? I mean, it's like they got to get Donald Trump in there to just try to spend some money on something, for crying out loud. They got so much money, but, you look at these big players like Suh and Cobb, and you think, the easy logical thought would be, hey, let's just go sign one of these players because we got all this money. But I don't know if that's the way to go. I heard Rich Gannon talking about this earlier this week about signing big name free agents, and I think his point was right on the money, that teams that are a ways from winning, so like the Jaguars, who have struggled and are a very young team, or team like the Browns, or teams that are a couple years away, maybe you shouldn't look at signing players like Ndamukong Suh, because one player like Suh isn't going to be the thing that puts you over the hump as a franchise. You know, he might be able to help you, of course. I mean, Ndamukong Suh is a great player. I mean, there's no question about that, and so is Randall Cobb. He's very versatile. You know, he can do just about anything. He did just about everything in Green Bay. But those two players aren't just going to turn you into a championship contender. The type of a team that would benefit most from a team like player like Ndamukong Suh or Randall Cobb would be a team that's close, a team that needs maybe some help up front, like the Indianapolis Colts, who don't have all that much cap room to try to get Ndamukong Suh, but that would be a big help for them, because that's where they really struggled in 2014 was the defense. Their offense is great. They have great weapons in Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton, a great quarterback, and Andrew Luck, you know, great tight ends with Colby Fleener, and, you know, but the defense, especially without Robert Mathis last year, just struggled a lot, you know, and adding Ndamukong Suh would help. Or, you know, maybe a little bit of a throwback. Look at the Green Bay Packers. I mean, what did they do back in the 90s? They went and grabbed Reggie White, and that really put Green Bay over the hump, you know, to get to two straight Super Bowls in 96 and 97, winning the one in 96 with Brett Favre and Desmond Howard. That's always a good trivia question of who won the MVP of that game. Everybody probably think Brett Favre, but nope, it was actually Desmond Howard. But that's the type of place, wouldn't be a bit surprised to see those big name players going. You know, and other big moves and players moving around that doesn't have to do with free agency. We've seen some big trades. I mean, obviously that we had the big splash yesterday for Shady McCoy or LeSean McCoy, whatever you want to call him, being traded from the Philadelphia Eagles, being traded to Buffalo for Kiko Alonso. And if you're a fan of the Buffalo Bills, obviously you're losing a great player in Kiko Alonso. I mean, he was a great linebacker in his rookie year at the University of Oregon, but blew out his knee last year. I don't think there'll be too many concerns about that for next season. I mean, these players seem to really, for the most part, unless your name's not RG3, seem to really come back strong off those knee injuries. It's just, I think it's pretty remarkable how far medical things have come with sports injuries, because it used to be with, you blow out a knee, you're done. But now players are coming back in 7-8 months. It's pretty remarkable. And, you know, so the Eagles strengthening their defense, something that wasn't really great in 2014. And they do lose Shady McCoy. But, you know, I think it's a trade that works for both sides. I mean, obviously the Bills, you know, they're trying to circle those wagons again. You know, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. It seems more like a joke these days than an actual, like, saying a pride. But you got to like where they're going. You know, they've got Rex Ryan, who I think is, you know, maybe not the most well-liked coach in the world, but he seems to fit in well in Buffalo, and he's definitely, you know, all in with Buffalo. I mean, just ask the detailer on his truck who put that new paint scheme on his truck. I mean, it looks like a big Ralph Wilson mobile. You know, it's just rolling around Buffalo. You know, that'll definitely circle some wagons. And then Bills also maybe adding some depth, staying on the topic with the Bills, they added some depth at the quarterback position today. They traded for veteran QB Matt Cassel from the Minnesota Vikings for a couple of draft picks. One pick for the, well, they basically flip-flopped one pick. The Bills had a pick from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the fifth round, and they let that one go to Minnesota, and they also gave Minnesota a seventh round pick, and the Bills took a later sixth round pick from the Vikings. So they flip-flopped the two picks in the fifth and sixth round, and the Bills sent a seventh round pick to Minnesota for Matt Cassel, who, you know, is not a great player. He's had a couple of really tough seasons in Minnesota. Probably not in the greatest of situations, and they're also, you know, just kind of in really a transition period. And then they had Teddy Bridgewater last year. They're pretty much just trying, you know, they pretty much started Matt Cassel and wanted to hopefully hope that he would be able to run things along until Bridgewater was ready. And then, and it ended up working well for the Vikings because Bridgewater came in a little earlier than a lot of people thought he would, but really performed well for Minnesota last year. And heck, if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you got to feel okay about how they finished in 2014. But Matt Cassel gives the Bills a little bit of veteran leadership. You know, he's been in the league for a long time. He's 32 years old. He's been in a lot of different systems, and he's basically, I think he's basically there just so EJ Manuel doesn't feel super comfortable over there, like he's sitting in a lazy boy over in Buffalo. This will put a little bit of heat on his lazy boy to make his lazy butt get up and try to become a real NFL quarterback in 2015, because this is a make-or-break year for EJ Manuel. And other news in the NFL that just came out a couple hours ago, Peyton Manning will be taking a $4 million pay cut, possibly, if he comes back in 2015. I think it's pretty safe to say that he will be returning next season. But you got to wonder what the Bill or the Broncos will be doing with that extra $4 million. They're sitting with $20 million, around $20 million in cap space right now. That $4 million pay cut will obviously give them more money to spend. So you got to wonder if they're thinking about making a splash move around the NFL. You look at what the Broncos might need. You know, they might need a tight end because Julius Thomas is headed out, but they could probably address that need in the draft as well. It'll be interesting to see what John Elway has cooking in Big D, the other Big D, not Dallas. And the last thing I wanted to... Whoops, sorry. Accidentally turned off the mic. That's never a good thing to do. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Kind of one last interesting note is that there's a report out that the Pittsburgh Steelers want Troy Polamalu to retire rather than come back in 2015. Kind of a interesting report. You know, you got kind of makes you, you know, raise your eyebrow a little bit. I mean, this is a guy that's been with the franchise forever and, you know, has been a really huge part of what the Steelers have done. But, you know, he is definitely long in the tooth, as they like to say. You know, the Steelers might be looking to free up some cap room so they can make some changes and, you know, get back to Steeler football, because it surely was not a stereotypical Steeler defense in 2014. Okay, we're going to head to our first break of the afternoon. When we come back, we're going to talk about some NCAA basketball, you know, to recap a few of the games last night and look at, you know, the bubble and what conference tournaments and what conference, you know, the end of the season will be the funnest to watch going down the stretch. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox on radio.dominican.edu. We will be right back after this quick break.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, here with you this afternoon. Glad that you could join us, and thank you for bearing with us with the couple of technical difficulties that we have been dealing with here in the studio. It happens. You know, you just gotta kind of roll with the punches, I guess you could say. Anyway, we just wrapped up our NFL segment, talked a lot about the big moves that have been happening around the National Football League, and now we'll be moving on to our next segment, which is the NCAA basketball segment of the show. And you know, we're headed right down to the bitter end of the season in the NCAA. We got a lot of crazy things happening around college basketball. There actually is one game already underway right now. It's on the Big Ten Network. Ohio State is leading Penn State 15-12, the 23rd ranked Ohio State. More games on the slate for tonight. Notre Dame will be taking on Louisville at 4 o'clock. Providence will be taking on Seton Hall, number 24 ranked Providence. Duke will be hosting Wake Forest. Should be a cakewalk for Duke. And in the nightcap, a rivalry game between USC and UCLA from Pauley Pavilion, and you'll get to hear the wonderful Bill Walton. I mean, who doesn't love Bill Walton? Another game to maybe look out for is the Civil War matchup starting at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. Civil War, the University of Oregon Ducks will be taking on the Oregon State Beavers from Gill Coliseum over in Corvallis. You know, a good rivalry. It's kind of a interesting rivalry because they've played over 300. This will be the 345th meeting all time between those two schools, and you don't see a lot of things brought up about this rivalry. It's kind of a interesting thing, I think. I mean, when you see two teams play together that many times, you'd expect them to be more like a Tobacco Road type of thing, but, you know, both those programs haven't been the most successful ones either. Looking at the two local teams around here in around the San Rafael area, obviously the two teams, the California Golden Bears and the Stanford Cardinal, the two most notable local teams in the area, both would definitely have some serious work to do if they want to make this NCAA tournament. Especially the Golden Bears, they almost certainly would have to win the conference tournament to have a chance. Stanford, you know, they're listed as one of those on the bubble or last four teams out, the record at 18-10. You know, it's kind of interesting with Stanford because they weren't really a team that a lot of people thought were in big trouble going into the week. And, you know, everybody just kind of, I think, assumed that Stanford was going to win at home on Senior Day against the Oregon Ducks, the team I just mentioned. But they weren't, they were unable to get it done, and they end up losing. They sit at 18-10 and will have to win whatever games they have left on the regular season schedule, and will definitely have to make some noise in the Pac-12 tournament to be considered. I think they will get a little bit of a sweetheart pick, I guess you could say, because of the success they had last year. Obviously, they made a great run, you know, beat Kansas. It was a big upset in last season's tournament. You know, and they still have a lot of pieces from that team. Obviously, Randall, their leading scorer, second in the Pac-12 behind Joseph Young, averaging close to 20 points per game. And hasn't been as good lately as he was at the beginning of the year. We've seen his field goal percentage go way down, but I definitely think Stanford is a good, solid team and has a chance, if they finish strong down the stretch, to make the tournament. You know, looking back at some of the action from last night, saw some close calls for some of the top-ranked teams. Saw Kentucky battle it out in Athens against Georgia last night. That was a heck of a game to watch. Kansas came back from double digits. You know, they were down by a lot early in that game against West Virginia, but were able to come back and beat West Virginia in overtime. And also, Villanova escaped Creighton on the road. Creighton not quite where they have been in years past. You know, no more Dougie McBuckets there. Doug McDermott, if you don't get that reference. But Creighton was able to put up a good fight at home against a good Villanova team, but Villanova got out of there with the victory. And Villanova, a team that's slated now to maybe get one of the number one overall seeds. We saw a couple of teams in the top 10 lose last week. It was a little bit of a reshuffling of the top 10. We saw Gonzaga go down to BYU last weekend, and Wisconsin lost to Maryland as well. Both of those teams were kind of in the conversation for a number one seed, and they both lost. So Villanova, de facto, moves up. And it'll be, you know, you got to think that probably the top three seeds at this point, probably Kentucky, obviously, and Virginia, number one seeds, and then probably the Duke Blue Devils have to be in the conversation as well, along with Villanova. And then there's a lot of second tier teams. Kansas probably falls into there, Wisconsin as well. And another team that cracked the top 10 might be interesting to pay attention to is Maryland, who topped the top 10 this week at number 10 for the first time since 2003. Out of the Big Ten, their first year in the Big Ten for the Maryland Terps. And maybe they should change that saying. Instead of crab cakes in football, maybe they should say crab cakes in basketball. That's what Maryland does, baby. So, but we still got, like I mentioned in the opening, the conference tournament still to go for a lot of these bubble teams, and there will be some interesting conferences to watch to see what teams get in and what teams don't, you know, especially from some of the bigger conferences. The two conferences I would like, will think it'll be fun to keep in track of, will be the Big Ten and the Big 12. Both of these conferences have been topsy-turvy all season long. You know, seen teams move up in the rankings, move down in the rankings, move out of the rankings altogether, and, you know, go on hot streaks or really cold streaks. There's, I have the Bubble Watch on ESPN, you know, Joe Lunardi's site for all the bracketology stuff. There are six teams out of that top Big Ten list that are in contention to make the tournament. I mean, there's a lot of those teams that are sitting there at 20-10, 19-9, right in there. I mean, Iowa fits in there, Indiana, Purdue, Ohio State even not even a lock for the tournament. So it's that conference tournament, I think, is going to be very, very fun to watch. And the Big 12 has just been a crapshoot all season long. You never really know what's going to happen. There's just so many teams that are ranked or have been ranked at some point during the season. And, you know, and right when you think you can get a win at home, then boom, something crazy happens, like Kansas losing at Kansas State last week. You know, it's just something crazy. You know, you never really know what's going to happen. And, you know, in Kansas, you know, on their 12-year straight streak of winning the season, the Big 12 season title, pretty remarkable. But even though the Jayhawks, probably the favorite to win that tournament, I don't think it's like a done deal like, say, a Kentucky would be. Or it's, I shouldn't even say Kentucky is a done deal to win the SEC tournament, but, you know, Kansas, I feel, is a really soft favorite. I mean, they've shown some signs of being vulnerable multiple times this season, and I think there's a lot of talent in the Big 12, and there's a lot of teams out there that could give Kansas a run for their money. And I think Kansas could be one of those early top seeds in the tournament we see go down in upset fashion. Seems kind of fitting. You know, you hear, see Cinderella stories. It seems kind of fitting that this time of year a new Cinderella movie is actually coming out with all these Cinderella stories on the basketball court happening at the same exact time. But most of the power conferences have been pretty strong. You know, I mentioned the Big 12 and the Big 10. The ACC has been unbelievable this season with Duke and ACC, with Duke and Virginia kind of leading the group, and North Carolina's had a pretty good season, and there's some bubble teams in there like NC State. That's a team that nobody seems to be able to figure out. They pick up some big wins, quality wins, and then they go and lay an egg. Yeah, it's kind of a weird team, but one power conference that I think has some things to prove is definitely the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has been a conference that I think's been not really well respected all season long. There's really only two teams in that conference that are for sure in. You know, looking at the conference, it's got to be Arizona and Utah. Those are the two ranked teams in the conference. But when it's all said and done, I think there's a very good chance we could see at least four teams make it into the tournament. You know, I think Oregon will be in the tournament. I think UCLA will probably make it, and I think Stanford is on the fence a little bit, like mentioned there. You know, they really have to show something here at coming towards the end of the season to prove that they belong in the tournament this year. And one last thing that I think is worth mentioning in this NCAA basketball segment is today marks the 25th anniversary of the death of Hank Gathers. If you don't know this story, he was a famous NCAA basketball player. He played at Loyola Marymount University under the great coach Paul Westhead, who's been all over the place in his career. He coached in the WNBA, he coached college basketball, he coached women's college basketball as well. Just stepped down last season as the coach at the University of Oregon. But that offense at Loyola Marymount averaged over 100 points per game, you know, crazy numbers. And the year before Gathers' death in 1989, he averaged numbers that were just like inhumane. He averaged over 37 points and 13 rebounds per game for the Lions of Loyola Marymount, and really would have been a great NBA prospect in 1989, but he decided to return for his senior season in 1990 because he wanted to get his degree as a senior and graduate, which, you know, that's a very respectful thing to do, and his mother was really the one who pushed hardest for that because he wanted Gathers to be the first in his family to receive a college degree. But on this day, 25 years ago, March 4th, 1990, went up for a dunk, put it down, and on his way back up the court, he collapsed and was later pronounced dead at the hospital, kind of a freak accident. We had a prior heart condition, and he was receiving treatment for it, but it obviously was not enough. And, you know, a sad day in college basketball, but I think a lot of times you see these type of things happen. They, you know, these things make sure that history don't repeat themselves. You never want to see somebody have something like this happen to somebody. And I think when this did happen, I think it raised a lot of people's eyebrows and said, wow, like, this stuff with the heart is not something we can play with at all, you know, and it can lead to losing your life. And I think, you know, it's, you know, for any player that has this or it had this and had to stop playing any sport after this happened to Gathers, I think, you know, they're probably disappointed they can't play, but it sure as heck beats, you know, losing your life ultimately out there on the court like Gathers did. And, you know, and Gathers was a great player and seemed like a great person off the court as well, you know, showing a lot of character and wanting to obtain his college degree. So that's going to do it for our NCAA basketball segment. I mentioned there's those games on tonight that I listed, Providence and Seton Hall, Oregon and Oregon State. You know, a lot of games to watch tonight, and there will be a lot of games to watch this weekend and next weekend. Next week we will preview the conference tournaments and, you know, recap a few of the tournaments that had already ended. You know, there will be tickets that will be booked to the tournament by that time, and we'll be looking ahead to Selection Sunday. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking about some NBA news, you know, and what's going on. You know, we're starting to get towards the end of the season there, so got a lot of stuff to hit on. And in our last segment, we will talk a little bit of spring training MLB basketball. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the show. This is Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We're a little bit over halfway through the show on this Wednesday afternoon, coming to you from Angelica Hall and Penguin Radio. Got a little bit of NBA basketball talk on tap in our next segment. And, you know, the NBA season, you know, we've kind of gotten clear of the trade deadline wildness and all of, and the All-Star break. It's pretty much all about just making that final push to the end of the season. Got some pretty good matchups coming up tonight, kind of headlined by the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors coming from Toronto, and also the Portland Trail Blazers will be taking on the Los Angeles Clippers from Staples Center. That game will be on ESPN. A couple other notable games. The Lakers and the Heat. You know, they'll be the first game of the doubleheader on ESPN. And the Sixers and the Thunder will be playing tonight from OKC. That game, notable because it will mean the return of Russell Westbrook coming back from injury. He is probably going to be wearing a Rip Hamilton-style face mask after having surgery to repair that face fracture. That was kind of a crazy thing to watch. He had that happen in a game last week against the Portland Trail Blazers, and you could see him on the court. He looks like he had like an indent on his face, like he could almost looked like a dimple in his skull. It was a little bit creepy, but he's back. For the Oklahoma City Thunder Spear, Thunder will be happy to have him back. He had a very historic month in February, joining Oscar Robertson for being the only player to average 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 assists for an entire month. I mean, that's pretty remarkable in itself. You know, he will have him back. Kevin Durant was evaluated for his foot injury earlier this week, and he will be reevaluated next week to get a timetable on when he will return. He will definitely be returning, according to himself. Made that comment today that he is definitely going to be back for the Thunder at some point this season. Just the question is when. And one last game to touch on will be the Grizzlies and the Rockets, coming to you from the Toyota Center in Houston. James Harden will be back for the Rockets, served that one-game suspension for kind of kicking LeBron James. Kind of a funny thing. I don't know why he decided to do that. You know, and he's trying to claim that it was not on purpose, that he was just... that he was just, you know, that it just happened in the middle of a, you know, heat of the moment type of a deal. But I don't know how much truth there is to that. That's like Ndamukong Suh saying that he didn't mean to step on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on. That's just a little ridiculous to me that, you know, not that it was a big deal, but to me, I don't know why you'd want to lie about something like that.
Let me answer that. You know, that is an absolute crock of
Thank you, Bob Knight, for your little input on that. I don't think Bob Knight could have said that any better. Just kind of a crock of crap, pretty much. But that story is behind him. James Harden will be playing. Other news in the NBA, we saw Brian Shaw get fired from the Denver Nuggets this week. Not really a huge surprise. That franchise has just been tanking the last 20 games. They're 2-18 in their last 20 after going right around 500 before those last 20 games. So not really sure what happened there in Dallas. And one thing that I'm definitely thinking when thinking about Denver. I'm thinking about the Nuggets is they got to be wondering why they ever got rid of George Karl, who is now the coach over in Sacramento. But he had this club really playing pretty good. You know, they never really were able to get over the hump. But, you know, looking at it in retrospect now, I'm sure that the fans in Denver would be much happier having a solid basketball team that's in playoff contention almost every year than having this god-awful team where it's almost like the franchise is almost kind of back to square one where they were before they got Carmelo Anthony all those years ago, where they were kind of the doormat of the West. And a interesting story to mention out of the ATL, the Atlanta Hawks, obviously one of the top teams in the East, the number one seed at this point in the playoffs. Mark Rachesky, the head of Lionsgate Films, which is obviously a movie company, you know, pretty big movie company. They've made, you know, some pretty notable movies. I think they are under the Fox label as well. Anyway, the head of Lionsgate Film is bidding to buy the Atlanta Hawks. He says his plan is to move the team from their downtown location there in the Phillips Arena as of right now in downtown and relocate them to a suburb in Atlanta, kind of following the lead of the Atlanta Braves, who will be leaving Turner Field to a new facility and also a suburb of Atlanta. But one thing that is interesting, and an interesting argument, is with Rachesky, even though he does have ties to the Atlanta area, is there a chance that Atlanta moves from, the Hawks move from Atlanta altogether? I think that's an interesting argument to make, especially when you hear quotes from former players, Josh Smith, a very pretty highly regarded Hawks player. I mean, he played for a lot of years for the Hawks and was a very successful player for them. He basically called the Hawks after the game last night fan base a bunch of bandwagoners. You never want to have that term associated with the franchise. And I mean, it's definitely been a franchise that's struggled with attendance. I mean, it's definitely something to look at. I mean, even when the Hawks have been on this roll, you look at their stadium and it's still not full every single night, which seems shocking to me. And even all those years where they were solid, when Josh Smith was on the team, when they had Al Horford and a lot of the same guys they have now, but just weren't able to take that next step to where this year's version of the Hawks has been able to do. They still weren't drawing very many people, and for whatever reason, Atlanta just doesn't seem to be the greatest venue for professional sports. You know, the Falcons haven't been that great of a fan base. They need to pipe in crowd noise to make the stadium very loud. You know, they had that scandal come up earlier this week where they've been piping, or not this week, earlier last month, where they were piping in crowd noise into their games. And the Hawks, like I mentioned, haven't been doing well. It's kind of, college sports is kind of king in Georgia, you know, with the Bulldogs and the Yellow Jackets as well. It's kind of all what people care about in Atlanta. Will be interesting, you know, just kind of an interesting argument. All right, that's going to pretty much wrap up our NBA talk this afternoon. Well, one thing to look for, JaVale McGee, who's looking to be waived by the 76ers' interest from the Miami Heat and also the Dallas Mavericks. Be interesting to see where he ends up. JaVale McGee, a player that was on Denver, who was traded to the 76ers, part of the Aaron Aflalo deal that they made with Portland. But it'll be interesting to see where the big fellow ends up. All right, we're headed to our last segment of the show. Going to be talking a little bit of spring training baseball, update you on some scores, on update you on a few players that are doing well and players that aren't doing so well. Okay, so we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on radio.dominican.edu.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next.
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Oh, yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kind of want to know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show, Sports Talk in the Icebox here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. We're in the last few minutes of the show. Make sure you stay tuned. Ball is life. We'll be talking everything basketball. I'm sure getting in some NCAA talk in along with some NBA talk as well. That's with DJ Smoove and DJ Roughhouse. Make sure to stay tuned for that coming up in just a few minutes. All right, just to wrap up the show, we're going to hit on a few things happening in spring training in Major League Baseball. A couple of bunch of games in the books already. Detroit beat Baltimore 5-4. The Mets beat the Atlanta Braves 8-2. The Phillies beat the Yankees 3-1. Alex Rodriguez making his first appearance for the Yankees in that one. Got a single in his first at-bat. Got a mixed reaction from the crowd. Not exactly the most surprising thing in the world with him coming off of his steroid suspension. Toronto beat Pittsburgh 4-1. The Chicago White Sox beat the new-look Dodgers 6-4. The Cleveland Indians beat the Cincinnati Reds 4-2. The American League champion Kansas City Royals beat the Texas Rangers 13-2. Local matchup, the San Francisco Giants lost to the Oakland Athletics 9-2, their second loss in the last 2 days. And the Seattle Mariners beat the San Diego Padres in 10 innings. And also, one more score, the Arizona Cardinals beat the Colorado Rockies by a score of 6-2. All those games in the Cactus and Grapefruit Leagues, respectively. Couple of interesting things to look at. We saw the two big signings for the San Diego Padres, Matt Kemp and Justin Upton, put on a show this afternoon. Justin Upton actually homered in that game for the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners being another team looking to make a move this season and make a push to the postseason. Really haven't been relevant in Major League Baseball since that unbelievable season they had back in 2001, where they still hold the record for most wins in a regular season. Pretty remarkable season they had. Were not able to win a World Series that season, however. And the Giants, the defending champions, speaking of World Series winners, have gone down the last 2 days to the Oakland Athletics, a team looking to make a name for itself after losing a lot of players. Madison Bumgarner did not look good yesterday, gave up a couple of home runs. Some people are making a big deal about that, but I don't know how much importance should be put on those games. I mean, it's basically practice, right? I mean, it's just spring training.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's pretty much just a practice game. You know, spring training, it's just about getting out there. And, you know, even though Madison Bumgarner threw a ton of innings last year, he's still hanging out in his ranch in the Carolinas for a couple months. He's still going to be a little rusty, and that's the spring training sport. It's just about getting yourself ready for that 162-game grind that will be coming, you know, in just less than a month. It seems hard to believe, so I'm sure, especially for those folks out on the East Coast that are buried in snow right now, I'm sure it's kind of a good thing to be thinking about something other than the weather, thinking about something that's linked with summer. Okay, we are out of time here on Sports Talk in the Icebox. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We're coming on 4 o'clock. Like I mentioned, Ball is Life is coming up right after me at 4 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with some more NCAA basketball talk. We'll have a lot more clear view on where the NFL free agents will be heading and a lot of other stories, I'm sure, as well. Thanks for tuning in. This has been a presentation of Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon, everybody.